What a joy and a privilege it'd be back in the Lord's house this evening. It's an honor. Anytime we get to be in God's house, it's an honor. And Brother Tim, I saw your wife in the choir practice about to get a little bit happy. Man, that started to make me get happy. I'm telling you what, a Christianity and the love that God has in the heart of us, it'll spill over on somebody else. If you ain't real careful, somebody else will feed off of your energy. And the next thing you know, you've got a whole church being revived and getting excited about it. The Bible said in the book of Mark, chapter number 2, that when it was noised that Jesus was in the house, that's when the people came. Yes. And then you see the man that was born before that came, and they couldn't get into the doorway because of all the crowd. What was going on? The Lord was in the house. Chris, you're going to get called down again. You all right? Chris says, and I said, "You called me out." And I said, "Yeah, keep sitting up here. We'll get you again." Chris has always got something to say. He wakes up at 2 in the morning and texts me, calls me. He'll call me at 3 and say, "What are you doing?" At 3 o'clock in the morning, he gets up at 3:30. He'll say, "Pastor, are you awake?" Well, usually I am for whatever reason. He'll say, "Can you talk just..." I said, "I'll wake up everybody in the house, Chris. Let me go out in the garage." But anyway, it's good to be saved. You don't, Brother Jeremiah, you're sitting in a bad place. I only sit there so I can watch you. Honor, a joy, and a privilege to have Brother Jeremiah Simpson with us tonight. He is the son of Jeremy Simpson and his dear wife. He's the pastor of Thanks to Calvary Baptist Church. You may know Jeremy Simpson's wife. She is the daughter of Brother Allen and Miss Jan Barker, who was the son and daughter of daughter-in-law of Allen. Of Olin and Grace Barker. So anyway, the little basket that your wife has tonight, if you read that card, it says, "Ain't God good?"
Amen.
Do you know where that came from?
Yes.
You will know. If you haven't opened your card yet, there's a card in there that says, "Ain't God good?" That would have been his great Aunt Linda that would have written that. What a blessing they were and have been in this church and in our lives. Brother, I've got Brother Andrade back there with us. It's not Brother Ernesto Andrade. I've got Brother somebody Andrade. I'm looking for a name on here. Where's your name on here? Brother Nathan? Nahum? Hang on a minute. Do you use glasses yet? Oh, you will. You wait to get my age. Nahum, Nydia, Jose, Abigail, Angel, and David. Which one are you, preacher? Joshua? Okay, Joshua in English. But anyway, that's the brother, the earthly brother, Brother Ernesto Andrade. And as you know, we support Brother Ernesto and Sister Yuli and their family. And he is a missionary down to the Honduras. And love you, brother. We'll get with you on. I love the work you guys are doing. But he is a native pastor, missionary to the Honduras. And just met him tonight. Would spend some time with him. I'll get to talk to him about some of the works they've got going on. And then maybe introduce him back to the church and let us hear him preach and talk to us about the works there in the Honduras. Brother Jeremiah is heavily involved in a new ministry down at Thanks to Calvary called Mercy and Truth Ministries, which we've given, I think, $1,000 or maybe a couple $1,000 over the past couple years to that ministry. But he's not here tonight to present Mercy and Truth Ministries. If he hits a lick on it, so be it. But he's here to preach tonight. The table's been set. When you look back through there and you see 400 people fanning, we're working on that. Folks, we set the air in here on 65. When you come in, I see you wrapped up. We're on 65 when we get here. But by the time you get 250, 300 people in here, it's up to 77 before we leave. And that's the best I can do. So you keep on fanning. It won't bother you if people are fanning, right? Just preach on hell. It makes it more real. The psalmist said in the 122nd division of Psalms, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Does coming to the Lord's house make you glad? Does it excite you to be able to come into the presence of Almighty God? I don't understand where the 100 go. I've never understood that. Brother Grant, I remember that when you were the super, you took that poll of, I'm telling you, I guess it was an 11-week study, and he determined that there was 97 people that will come in after the Sunday school hour, and that 97 will not come back for Sunday night or Wednesday night. I don't understand that, but let's pray for them. I'm telling you what, it's like having the meal but not getting the dessert. I'm telling you, I love Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights, some of the best services around here. I enjoy it. Preacher, come on. Now, Brother Chris has got to leave here in just a few minutes. If you see him leave, if Brother Jeremiah's preaching on alcoholism, don't think Brother Chris is a drunk. If he's preaching on some other sins, you might wonder, but not alcohol.
Thank you.
Preacher, just preach to us.
Amen. Well, it's an honor and a joy to be with you tonight. If I got this thing on, oh yeah, I got it on. It's always an honor to stand in another man's pulpit. I understand what kind of I trust that entails, so I don't take that lightly. But it is a joy to be with you tonight. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, and we'll get started there to read our text. Heard you had a great service this morning, and we did as well at my home church. I was home today, homecoming, and we had it thanks to Calvary. Had some bluegrass gospel picking, and Lord, a meal afterward that feed the whole Wilkes County, but we had a time. And it reminded me, today we was at church, and it reminded me of a story that I heard about a little girl that got excited. She was in her school class on Wednesday afternoon, and her school teacher told her, she said, they told the whole class, all right, it's Wednesday afternoon, so you got 2 days. This Friday, we're going to have show and tell. And they, oh man, they just got up and they got up in the air about it, and they was just excited. And she said, wait now. It's not just a normal show and tell. What this show and tell is going to be is we're going to do it, and we want you to bring something, a symbol of your religion and the religion that you're a part of. Well, they were all excited still. They was ready to go. Well, Friday's coming along. The little boy, they start, and the little boy gets up there, and he was a Catholic, and he brought a little crucifix for his religion. A little girl got up, and she brought the Star of David, and she said that she was a Jew. Well, this another little girl, she got up, and she brought a casserole, and she said, well, I'm a Baptist. So, if you can't laugh at that joke right there, you just need to go home, man. Ain't that, that's the truth right there. We Baptists, we know how to eat, and I like it. Amen. That's part of what homecoming's all about, is having a bunch of eat. But it is a joy to be with you. I'll get off all that carnal stuff and eat, and we'll talk about that later. But it is an honor to be with you. I love this church. I've been here a few times, and it's always a blessing to me when I get to be with you. Got to be with Brother Kenny Baldwin down in the fellowship hall, and y'all had that great meeting. Wonderful. And I always love coming up to Calvary. Let's all stand. If you've got your place there in Exodus chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading the first verse of Exodus chapter number 6. You pray for me as we preach. Nerves always get the best of me, but we're going to pray. Lord, help us tonight. And you worship with me. You worship with me. I'm used to old-time worshiping.
Come on, bro.
And you ain't got to hold nothing back. All right, you ain't going to scare me. So y'all, as long as it's done in decent and order and in the Holy Ghost of God, you go ahead and you help yourself. But Exodus chapter number 6, we'll begin reading here. The Bible says, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. I love these. I'm going to read 9 verses, and I'm going to tell you, pay attention, because this is some of my favorite 9 verses in the Bible. Because God's speaking directly to Moses, and he's pulling no punches. He said, this is what I'm going to do. All right, in verse 2, God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Ain't no question about it. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, but by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. There he goes again, just telling them who he is. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. But they hearkened not. Man, he was telling straight what God had said to him. But you see there in verse number 9 that they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for being good to us. Thank you, God, for an opportunity to stand tonight and preach your word. God, Lord, I stand in a place where no man can stand alone in his flesh. Lord, I ask, Lord, tonight for your touch. Lord, I ask for your anointing. God, Lord, I pray that you'd unctionize me the Holy Ghost tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. But, Lord, I can't do this alone. God, help us to be willing to do whatever you tell us to do. Lord, we'll love you and thank you, God, for all you're going to do for us. Thank you, Lord, for the hall and this church, Lord, what they stand for. Lord, we'll love you and thank you, God. And it's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Before I preach, I would like to say that that choir was unbelievable. Thank you for singing that. And that youth choir, you sung one of my favorite songs tonight. It's Through the Blood. My dad wrote that when I was just a baby. And it means a lot to me. And that was an unbelievable singing. I'm glad for the blood of Jesus tonight. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to, by way of introduction tonight, I want to say a question and tell you a question that's pretty relevant in everybody's lives. I probably believe that everyone has said this in one time in their life. And that is the question or the statement of when is enough enough? You say, when is enough enough? I believe probably every one of us in here has heard that question before. You know, you could think about, and I promise you I'm going somewhere, just hang with me. You could think about that little statement, when is enough enough, in so many ways. Think about with relationships. When do you say, that's enough, I'm going to have to let you go? When is enough enough on the job? When do you say, that's enough, I'm finding another job? Or when do you say, that's enough, you're fired? When is enough when it comes to the accumulation of things? When does a man get satisfied with enough stuff? Houses, lands, boats, four-wheelers, money. I think it's safe that the flesh is never satisfied. You know, it's funny to me that, you know what, men that have a whole lot of money won't. More money. That's exactly right. You say, why is that? Because our flesh is never satisfied with the things of this world. And so the question is, when is enough enough? When is it enough? That's enough. Can I tell you the answer to that? When you'll truly say that's enough is when you're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is enough this evening. In our text, we find a name that is found 47 times in our King James Bible. And that is the name of God, that is God Almighty. And in the Hebrew, it is the word El Shaddai. We read it as God El Almighty Shaddai. You say, why did you tell us that? Well, if you'd have been 4,000 or so thousands of years ago and heard Moses say God Almighty, you wouldn't have heard him say God Almighty. You would have heard him say something like this right here, El Shaddai. And that's what you would have heard. And we find that name 47 times in our Bible. In this passage, Moses is going to the Hebrew children in Egypt simply to preach a sermon of hope to them. God says that He's going to lead them out of their bondage. They've been in bondage for 400 years. I don't know about y'all, but that's a long time. Anybody in here over 100? Time multiplied by 4. That's how long these people had been in bondage. And God says that He's going to bring them out of it. And He commands Moses to go to Pharaoh and demand the people's release. The 10 plagues are about to begin in the context of our scripture. But the Israelites, upon the hearing of the words of Moses, hearken not. Hearken not. They didn't listen to what the preacher said. Can I give you some advice? When your man of God is speaking, listen to him. Listen to him. That would have saved these people a lot of trouble, I believe, if they had just listened to what their man of God had to say. But guess what? They doubted God's plan. I believe they lost sight of the promise that God made to them hundreds of years ago. God, however, had said to Moses that He would keep His word. I'm glad that we've got a Lord tonight that's going to keep His word. That He's never going to lie. He's never going to tell us something false. That He's going to keep His word. And that's what He did in our text. He gave him confirmation and a reminder of verse number 3. He said, go tell the people I am Jehovah. I am the Lord. God said, I'm Jehovah, the self-existent one, the everlasting God. But He also said, go tell them that I'm El Shaddai. Now, why are you preaching about El Shaddai? Well, let me tell you about what that name of God means. El Shaddai means this. It means the source of all blessings.
Come on.
El Shaddai. He said, go tell them I'm El Shaddai. He said, go tell them I'm the one who pours out.
Amen.
Go tell them that I'm the one who is sufficient.
Yes.
Go tell them that I'm the one that satisfies.
Amen.
I am, this literally means this right here. This ought to help you. When is enough enough? He said, go tell them I'm El Shaddai. Go tell them this is what it means.
Amen.
Go tell them that I am enough.
Amen.
And that's what that name means. He said, go tell my people that I'm enough for whatever they have. And I want to preach on that thought tonight, that God is enough.
Yes.
I'm glad that I serve a God tonight that is enough.
Amen.
I'm glad that I know that God is enough. You say, how do you know? Well, first of all, I know it by Scripture, but I'm glad even more than that. I think I might be glad that I know that my God is enough from experience.
Amen.
Because time and time again, I've seen no way out of things, and my God came up and showed out and said, hey, it's all right. I'm enough for whatever you face. I'm glad that we've got a God tonight that is enough. Can I tell you that He's enough for your hunger? You can taste Him and He'll please you. He's enough for your trials. You can test Him and He'll pass the test. He's enough for your family. You can trust Him and He will provide for you. God told Moses, He said, I am Jehovah. I am El Shaddai. What He was saying is, I'm more than enough. And can I tell you this evening that He still is El Shaddai. He still is the all-sufficient Savior. He still is the Almighty. When He still is the self-existent God. The God of Jacob has not changed. I'm glad that we serve a God that never changes. Can I tell you something about what Moses found out about this Lord? About God? Moses found God to be enough as he stood before Pharaoh. Moses found Him to be enough in the Passover lamb. Moses found God to be enough in a cloud by day and a fire by night. Moses found God to be enough as they stood before an impassable Red Sea. Moses found God to be enough when He gave manna from heaven every morning. He is El Shaddai. He is more than enough. We see that Moses found Him to be enough. But can I tell you that there's others in the Bible that found God to be enough for what they needed? Elijah found God to be enough while being fed by the ravens at the brook and the barrel that would not go empty. David found God to be enough standing in the valley of Elah, and that mighty giant Goliath fell down, not because of David, but because God was enough. Abraham found God to be enough as he offered his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. Daniel found God to be enough as he faced the den of lions. It wasn't a lion's den, by the way. Because you know why we say a den of lions? Because a lion's den could have been empty. But it was a den of lions. I never knew that until I was about a few years ago, and I heard somebody say that. Because if we just said a lion's den, that thing could have been empty. But he worked. You know, the Bible words things just perfectly. All you got to do is read it real close, and He says exactly what I want to say. God put Him in a den full of lions and gave him lockjaw. That wasn't nothing that Daniel did. It was all because of God. We see Joshua found God to be enough when he faced the mighty walls of Jericho. Samson found God to be enough when he was faced with 1,000 Philistines. Joseph found God to be enough when he was forsaken by all his brethren. Gideon found God to be enough when his army had dwindled down to only 300 men. Job found God to be enough when he lost all that he had. But Job was able to say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know why Job could say that? Because Job was experiencing in the darkest trial I believe any one person has ever been to, Job was experiencing that the God of heaven was enough for anything that he was going through.
Yes, sir.
We see that Hosea found God to be enough when his family and his home was wrecked by sin and his wife had played the harlot. But God was enough to bring Gomer back home. The three Hebrew children found God to be enough when they were standing in the fiery furnace, but there was a fourth man in the fire with them. The father of Luke chapter number 15 found God to be enough when his son had played the prodigal, but he came back home.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Peter found God to be enough when he was sinking in the sea.
Yeah, he did.
The disciples found God to be enough when they were troubled by the storm.
Amen.
But he said, "Peace be still." Mary Magdalene found God to be enough when her life was in control of seven demons. The thief on the cross found God to be enough because Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Paul and Silas found God to be enough in the Philippian jail because at midnight they were able to sing praises unto their Savior. I'm glad that we serve a God tonight that is enough. No matter what we go through, I'm glad that He's enough. Whatever you're going through. But you want to know the key to all of it? Now I love listening to all the things of the past and what God showed up and did for old saint of God's in the past. Well, what about us tonight? You want to know the key for us to be able to experience God's all-sufficiency? The key is to enjoying His all-sufficiency, is to acknowledge your own insufficiency. You know, as long as we think, I know that's deep, but as a lot of times we think we got the answer, and as long as we all think that we've got all the answers, we'll never, ever be able to appreciate that our Lord and Savior is the only answer. He is the only answer. So we looked at Moses and others in the Bible. But what about us? Is He enough for you tonight? Is He enough for me tonight? In these verses in the life of Moses, I want to show you four things that God said about Him being enough. I'm glad tonight that my God is sufficient for anything that I need.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 2 and 3, I want to show you first of all that God is enough in His person. And God is enough in His person. The Bible said in verse number 2, "And God spake unto Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty." Now look here, in this verse we see that God's enough in His person because simply He said, I am. The reason that we can trust His person is because He's unchanging.
Right.
He never changes. He is the same God tonight that He was way back then.
Yes,
I'm glad I told you that I like the way the Bible uses this word because it's perfect. It's undefiled. It's perfect. He didn't say that I was. He didn't say that I will be, but He said that I am the Lord. He is the great I am this evening. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." He is unchanging. You know, life changes. Yeah, man. Almost 22 years old. Graduated into adulthood. Life changes, let me tell you. We was talking about that just a second ago. You get a little baby, life changes drastically. More than you can even think about. Trust me, kids. But life changes. People change. Hey, man. You can't depend on people. They'll let you down in a heartbeat. You know what? Don't throw anything at me. Churches change.
Come on.
I was raised in Lexington, North Carolina. My dad pastored for almost 16 years. I was 16 when we left it, so that's all I remembered. And I wasn't saved. I was saved a year after we left Lexington as a 17-year-old young man. And I believe I know why. Because my faith was in that church.
Come on.
I believed in it. We were running 4 or 5, close to 600, and it changed. Man, it was over. Very short story. Could have been long. And it happened. I kept right there. And my whole world was ripped apart.
Come on.
Life changes.
Yep.
People change. Churches will change. Really, you're going to hurt me on this one. Preachers change. Oh, man. Man, I know a whole lot of people that's got their faith in a man, and that's the wrong one to put your faith in, because we ain't nothing but flesh and blood like you are that God has put a calling on. But that don't make us stand up here. We're still just right here with you. Preachers change. But can I tell you tonight that something you can put your faith in that ain't ever going to change? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 8 said like this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
I'm glad that we've got a God tonight.
Amen.
And His person is unchanging.
Right.
That's why we can trust His person. It's because He ain't ever going to change.
Right.
Can we testify tonight that we serve a God that doesn't change?
Amen.
Has anything ever happened in your life that He wasn't what He was supposed to be? You know, I've heard a lot of testimonies in my day. In my day, it made me sound old. I ain't that old. In the few years that I've been around, I've heard a lot of testimonies about how they should have done something different, or about how they should have given their life sooner to the Lord. But can I tell you that I've never heard a testimony? I've heard plenty of them bashing themselves and saying, I should have done it faster. I should have been better. But I've never heard one talk about how the Lord should have been better, or the Lord should have come by faster.
Right.
Because He's always the same. I'm glad that we serve a God tonight that is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why He's enough in His person. Look at verse number 6. "Wherefore saying to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." We see here in this verse, I see that God is enough for our pardon. You see what God said there? I love this. I'm going to give you a little hint or a little insight of preaching. I'm not that great of one, but I have took a little bit of Bible college and I know how to do some of it. There's this thing called, if you ever took any Bible college, you know what I'm about to talk about. There's this thing called synonymous parallelism. You say, why does he use those words? Because it makes me sound just a whole lot smarter than what I really am. Synonymous parallelism. Let me show you what it means, all right? Now, synonymous parallelism is this. It's when you say the same thing over and over again, but you use different words. Y'all get what I'm saying now? Like, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I just said the same thing, but I didn't use the same word. And this is, you know why you do that? This is big, Barney. You do that to drive a point home. You say it more than once because you want them to get it. You say, why you do that? Well, this group over here might identify with one word, and then this group back here might identify with this word, and then this side identifies with the other word. So what God's about to do, what I'm about to show you in this text, He's absolutely driving a point home to Moses. Tell him, this is what's going to happen. Now let's look at it. The Bible says that I will. God said, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. All right? He said, I'm going to bring you out. Then look what he said. He said, I will rid you. That means the same thing, but he said it a different way. Then he said, I will redeem you. Now, this is big. What's he doing? He's wanting to absolutely pile drive it home to tell them that I'm going to get you out of bondage. I'm bringing you out. And I'm glad that God, what it shows is that God goes to great lengths to show his children that he loves them and that he wants to bring them out. He said, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to rid you. I'm going to redeem you. And that's a picture of our salvation this evening. And can I tell you that God is enough for our salvation? God is enough for our pardon. We've been set free this evening. You know, the Israelites were in bondage. The Israelites was enslaved. You know, Egypt's a type of the world. Pharaoh's a type of Satan, the god of this world. But God set them free. God set them free. God brought them out, and only God could have done it. Only God could have done what he did in this scripture. It wasn't because of Moses. It wasn't because of the goodness of the Jews, but only because that God was enough to bring him out. And can I tell you this evening that I'm saved tonight? Not because of the goodness of Jeremiah Simpson, because I'm as filthy as rags, but I'm glad it's because of the good grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm saved tonight. I'm glad that Acts chapter number 4, verse number 12 teaches that salvation comes from the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Israel wasn't slave. Israel was in bondage. Israel was held captive. But God was enough. And can I tell you this evening that many in our world today find themselves just like the Jews. They're held captive by sin and by Satan. But God's enough to set the captive free this evening. God's enough to set you free from whatever life you may be living. Whatever life of sin you may be living. God's enough to set you free from a life of drunkenness. He's enough to set you free from a life of alcohol. He's enough to set you free from a life of drugs. God's enough to set you free from a life of sexual sin. God's enough to set you free even from a life of religion. He's enough to set you free because religion don't save you. Only the precious blood of Jesus does. God's enough to set you free from a life of bitterness, a life of hatred, whatever it may be, God's enough to set you free. Whatever holds you captive, Jesus paid the redemption price on a hill called Calvary, and the blood can set you free from whatever ails you. I'm glad that God is enough, not only in his person, but in our pardon. And then thirdly, let me show you in verse number 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. We see here that God is enough in our pilgrimage. And I know that's not 2018 vernacular, but it goes right along with the piece. So we're going to use it. He's enough for our pilgrimage. You say, what's that mean? It means our journey. Right. Our daily walk. What we do day by day. Our day by day thing. Our pilgrimage. And we see he's enough for that. And it's talking about our journey. And it's talking about the Israelites' journey here. The Israelites had no earthly idea what was ahead of them. They didn't have an easy road after they got free. It was pretty rough, if you ask me. They didn't know about what they were going to face. They didn't know that they would have to face the impassable Red Sea right after they get out of Egypt. They didn't know that they would have to face 40 years in the wilderness. They didn't know that they would have to wear the same clothes and the same shoes for 40 years. That would have knocked some of y'all ladies out right there. It would my wife anyway. Anyway, they didn't know about that. They didn't know that some of the loved ones that they'd have to bury over the next 40 years. They didn't know about the giants they would face in Canaan. They didn't know about the walls of Jericho or the defeat of Ai. But you know what they did know? This is good. All they knew was that their man of God had said, El Shaddai. They said, I don't know what we're going to face, but I know that God said He was going to be enough for him. So I'm going to trust Him. And you and I tonight have no idea what tomorrow may bring. And we're not promised tomorrow. We can't tell the future. And I would say if many of us knew what was going to happen a year from now, today, that we might lose faith. And we might back down on our journey of faith. But the Bible, can I tell you one of my favorite quotes I've ever read? The Bible does not tell us about the future, but it does tell us about the Father. And the Father's enough tonight. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know who holds tomorrow. I love the old song. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Amen. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We could leave this church right now and go out and we could get a phone call that forever changes our life. But can I tell you tonight that whatever your pilgrimage entails, that we've got a God that is enough to go alongside you. Just like the Comforter, the book of John depicts the person of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. And that means the one that goes right alongside of us. And we've got that on our pilgrimage. You know, even Moses didn't know what he was going to have to face. He was a man of God, but he still didn't know what they was going to go through. You know, just use your imagination. It's all right to use your imagination. We only got black and white and red if you got a certain kind of Bible in the New Testament where Jesus said. But I'm glad one of these days we're going to get to read the white of the Bible. Y'all know what I mean by that?
No.
We don't know all the details of things, of these stories and stuff, but that white, I believe it's full of details, what we can't really read. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven and know what really happened. But just use your imagination. It might have happened something like this right here. And they get out of Egypt. And Pharaoh says, go on. Go on. Just lost his son. Go on. And they go. And they're getting out of there hurriedly. And they're happy. They're excited. They just got free from 400 years of bondage. And they're probably jumping up and down and shouting and screaming. And just excited with the joy of the Lord in their heart. You know, that long caravan of people. They might have turned around the mountain. You see what I see? That's an awful big body of water sitting right there. I think that's the Red Sea. There ain't nowhere else to go. What are we going to do? Moses, what are we going to do? And you know, they started up here. They seen that water. I don't know how it happened. Just go with me. And that word starts traveling back to the back of the pack. Hey, they said there's water up in front. They said there's water. What are we going to do? Moses, what are we going to do? What are you going to do now? They're just wondering what's happening. And they're in the back of that line of people. I'm sure they probably started seeing something like, we're going to see when all this rain goes away. The dust started rolling. And that's Pharaoh's armies and his chariots coming to get these people. What it's probably going to do is it's probably going to kill them. And those people back here in the back, they started seeing that dust rolling. They started seeing Pharaoh and his army coming. And that word, I'm sure it traveled fast up the line. And that word got up to Moses. Moses, Moses, Pharaoh and his army's coming. They're coming to get us, and you've done got us out here, and we can't cross this water, and you've done killed us. You done killed us. And Moses don't know what to do either. He's just a man. He ain't God. And they said, we trusted you, Moses. We trusted you, preacher. You said that God was going to redeem us and get us out of this place. And now you've gotten us out. At least we're still alive in Egypt. At least we might have been working ourselves sick, but at least we're still alive. And they said, what are we going to do now? I believe Moses' mind went back to that discussion he had with the Lord Jesus in the first part of our text. And I believe somewhere in verse number 6 it said, and I will redeem you. I'll rid you. I'm going to bring you out. I believe Moses' mind probably went something like this right here. I don't know what's about to happen. I didn't think we'd run into this kind of situation. But I do know what the Lord told me. And He said that He was going to get me out. He said He was going to bring us out. So you know what? I love this. I always grew up in church and I always heard this statement. Don't doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light. And this is what Moses did. He said, I don't know, but I'm going to trust God to be who He said He was going to be. Amen. And Moses took his staff and walked out in that water. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And guess what? Boom. And the water went up and they walked across on dry ground. He said, why'd you tell us that? Well, you know what? They faced a situation that they did not see any way out of. I'm sure it happened. I'm sure they thought they was about to die because Moses had done got them in the wilderness and they was about to be done for it. But guess what? God showed up.
Amen.
You say, why? Because He said He was going to. He said, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to rid you. And that's exactly what He did. And so you know what? It goes perfectly for our life. You know, a lot of times we may turn the corner and we may see a red sea standing in front of us. And you may say, God, what have you gotten me into? I trusted you. I went to church faithfully. I did exactly what I thought I was supposed to do according to your word. And now I'm about to die spiritually because of a situation and a red sea that you've put in front of me. Can I tell you this evening to just trust God to be and to do what He said He was going to do. And you know what you need to do? Just like Moses did, you need to get out in the water like with your staff. And you need to see, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and watch Jesus part the Red Sea in your life because He said He's enough for our pilgrimage. I'm glad no matter what you face, He's enough for what you're going through. I'm glad not only that He's enough in His person and for our pardon, but thirdly, in our pilgrimage. And lastly, I want to show you something. Verse number 8. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Here we see that God is enough in His promise. Amen. He said, I will bring you in into the land. And God promised them that He was going to do something.
Amen.
But this was not the first time He had made this promise. It's not the first time, I'm sure it's not the first time these children of Israel had heard this promise. He said, I'll bring you to the land that I swear to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I guarantee you that they had doubted that promise. Because they was just flesh and blood like you and I. They had doubted that promise. You say, why did they doubt it? Because it's 400 years and it ain't been fulfilled yet. That's probably why they doubted it. It's been 400 years and they still waiting on this promise to come true from God. In many days, the promise of God to their fathers seemed so distant. I believe it probably seemed so unbelievable. But you know what they found? They found that God keeps His promises. And many times, no doubt, they felt like quitting. They felt like giving in. They felt like giving up. But God's enough this evening. He was back then to keep His promises. And for you and I tonight, let me say that God is still enough. For to keep His promises, He's still enough for that. What He said, He will do. What He's promised, He will fulfill. What He has pledged, He will complete. And Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. We can trust what God has said. It's a good day. It's a really, really, really good day in your life when you just learn to believe and rest on the promises of God. Paul told Titus that God cannot lie. And God speaks on the truth. In fact, He is the truth. John chapter 14 said, and Jesus Christ said, and He saith unto them, I am the way, the truth. He said, I am the truth.
Amen.
I'm glad that we've got a God that cannot lie about the promises that He has made us.
Right.
Let me show you something that helped me. In verse number 8, let's read it one more time. And I'll be done. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. All right? And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. God said to the Israelites, I promised this to you, fathers. I promised a land of rest to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But guess what? That promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was hundreds and hundreds of years old. But then God said, right in that same verse, I'm making you the same promise that I made to your fathers. And can I say that it's quite one thing to hear a promise that God made to your fathers. Oh man, but it's another thing when God makes you a promise. Amen. And that's what happened to these Israelites. Can I tell you a little bit about my heritage? You heard a little bit about it from what the preacher said, Miss Linda, my great aunt. Saint of God, wonderful woman. Amen. It goes even higher, farther than that. On my dad's side, my great-grandfather, an atheist son, preached the gospel for 56 years, saved out of an atheist home. God saved him, called him to preach 56 years. On my mom's side, Miss Linda Staley's dad, Olin Barker, preached the gospel for many, many, many years. And you come down a step down below that, my grandfather on my dad's side, Dr. Ronnie Simpson, has preached for 50 plus years the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My grandfather on my mom's side, Miss Linda's brother, Dr. Alan Barker, has preached almost 50 years. Then you come on another step down. And trust me, this is intimidating more than it is anything to y'all. You come another step, my dad, Dr. Jeremy Simpson, my pastor, my hero, one I look up to. He's 42, been preaching 33 years. He's been preaching since he's 9 years old. My uncles, Dr. Jonathan Barker, Tony O, and down in Monroe, pastoring churches. Terry Simpson. And down the line, I mean, as far, I can't even count them. That's intimidating. And that's what I grew up with. I didn't answer the call to preach. I was saved at 17, ran from salvation. And then I ran from calling to preach. And I answered my call to preach when I was 20 years old, so a year and a half ago. You know why I ran from it? Because of what I just told you. Because that's something to follow. But God said, you ain't following them. That's why he told me. Let me show you something that helped me. He promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a land of rest. That's 400 plus years old type of promise. But then he looked at the children of Israel. He said, I'm going to promise you and give it you in heritage. He said, forget Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They ain't here no more. I'm giving you a promise. And guess what? God snuck up with me when I was reading this one day. Amen. He said, I made your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers promises. And I made your daddy a promise. And I made your family and your uncles a promise. But I can make you the same promise. He said, Jeremiah, I am still El Shaddai. I'm still the one that is enough. I'm still the one that is sufficient. And can I tell you tonight, Calvary? This church ain't got to go forward. You ain't got to go forward in the future on the promises that God gave you 30 years ago, or God gave you 20 years ago, or even 5, 10 years ago. Can I tell you something? God can give you a promise tonight. Amen. That you can go forward on. And I'm glad that we serve a God that is enough in His promises. No matter where you're at tonight, no matter where you've been or where you're headed, God does not change. And the God that spoke to your fathers or to your pastor can come to you and give you a promise. I'm glad tonight that I serve a God that is enough. And I'm done. The pianist is going to come. The preacher's going to come close the service like he wants to. But are you trusting Him tonight to be enough? That's my only question. I've given my heart tonight, church. I truly have. All I ask you tonight is give Him your heart. Let Him be the sufficient one in your life. That's all He wants, is to be enough for you. Thank you, preacher.
Stand all over the house.